I had my oil lamps all ready, but I wasn't prepared for no heat. I need a zip-up bunny suit or something to get me through those cold nights. You know what I mean? I had no. It was hard because it was cold, and so I found I was prepared, but I wasn't prepared. And so we often find, no matter how hard you prepare, life throws us a curveball. And Jesus is telling us, if all you do is think about worldly things, you're not going to be prepared for the kingdom of God, which is coming. Only God knows what the future holds in this world, and certainly the next. And this world is entirely a preparation for the world to come. And that's why God allows us to go through all these things that we think are, we don't understand. But God, who loves us, will never forget us, you know, even though we forget him all the time. I have one of the stories I was thinking of. I used to have a Vega. Any of you have ever had one? It's a select group of individuals that had the worst car ever produced in the United States. Mine was lemon yellow, which tells you all you need to know. I could go on. I have so many funny stories that don't fit a homily, but it seemed like there was always something going wrong with that car. I always carried jumper cables and everything I needed to try to fix this thing. I had extra long jumper cables, you know, and for a dead battery, because my company that I used to work for, American Airlines, would not permit us to be late or absent, even if you're sick. It was a dumb policy because we'd come in sick, you know, and this sort of thing. But, you know, if you're late three times, you're out. So I would, you know, you could fly anywhere in the world, but if you didn't get home, that was very, very bad. So we had to be very careful. And so I remember I was at the grocery store once with this Vega, and I had the back seat full of frozen foods and stuff. Wouldn't you know it, ice cream in there. I go to start the car. Dead battery. I said, I'm prepared for this. I was a Boy Scout. I know how to be prepared. Guy next, somebody came out and said, oh, I'll jump your car for you. So I got out those jumper cables I had all that time waiting for this very incident. I wasn't late for work, but I did have all this stuff in the back. I go to pull the cord to open the hood, and the metal thing popped and broke. And I couldn't get the hood open. I had to have that car towed. They almost had to do a blowtorch to get this thing open. And I had to walk all those groceries home. And I said, well, never mind. I went to confession, so that was all right. And you know, no matter how well you prepare, I wasn't prepared for that. I've never heard of anybody having a cord break that pop your hood open. But, you know, a Vega. Later on, still having had this car, after my mother died, I kept her car. She had my dad, it was a company car, and then she kept it after he died. It was a 76 Malibu Classic, 5,000 pounds. We actually waited because I almost had it moved to Arizona while I was being transferred. It's a long story, but 5,000 pound car. Loved it. Ever had a car like this? It could go over a speed bump at 50 miles an hour and you wouldn't even feel it. I love this car. What a boat, you know? Yeah, and it 10 miles per gallon city, 12 highway. That's my kind of car. It bankrupts you these days. But so I kept it because of this attendance policy. I was so worried about being late. And I had these constant laryngitis attacks, you know, like I had even up to coming here, I had these problems. And somehow I managed to not have this. I had 5 or 7 years of perfect attendance, and I didn't want to blow it with a dumb dead battery from this Vega. So I had this other car. I was paying for two cars insurance in California and two registrations, and it's not cheap. I told the deacon here, hold on to your Oregon license plates as long as possible when you go back to Fresno, because it's cheaper. But until he asked to register it back in California again. So I'm paying all this money for that purpose. I'd alternate cars. Each day I'd drive a different one, you know, and the luxury model and the old Vega that I loved so much. So one day I got in the car. Again, the Vega didn't turn over. Another dead battery. I think the starter was putting too much juice into this battery. So I thought, got it covered, ready to go to work, not going to be late. Go out to that Malibu sitting in front of the house, you know. It wouldn't fit in the garage in this house that I had. I go to turn the the ignition. You know what I heard? Click, 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 click. The starter was out. I said, well, I went to confession again. I don't know what I said. I had to call a taxi to get to work. And there's my two dead cars sitting in front. There's my, so much for my insurance plan. Now, that was 30 years ago. But still, we can't be ready for what's coming. Just a third quick story is last night, just as I was coming into Mass, one of our parishioners, we were kidding him about his jacket he was wearing, and he pulls out, my sister died 4 years ago. He still had her holy card in his pocket. It was the strangest thing. But I thought, yeah, you know, that was the year we were building, getting ready to build the church. I was worried about, you know, the capital campaign and what style this would be and all that went on here. But I missed my sister's death. I wasn't even prepared for that. How many of you have been through this? You know, it's like we're what's coming out of left field, we're not expecting. And God is saying, if you spend all your time worrying about what you're going to wear, and you know, we all have to worry about money and about food, and when the electricity goes out, we find out just how dependent we are on modern technology. But that still isn't the most important thing. I can't spend my life just worrying about health. You're going to lose your health in the end. You're going to lose your money in the end. It's going to go to somebody else. My job is going to come to an end one day. I can't define myself by what I do, but who I am. I'm a child of God, and the Lord has another agenda that's different than the one I have. He sees us in the next world and is preparing us. Lent is a time when we reorient ourselves just a little bit. What's off base in my life that God might want me to correct? Every year I give up complaining. Well, that lasts about 2 days, so it's on my list again this year. We'll see how I do. But, you know, it's usually prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We either add something in, you know, to help others, or we deprive ourselves a little bit of the internet. Maybe we've got a little too much of that going on right now, or too much people give up sweets. That's not a bad thing, you know, if we're overdoing it, but it's to make room for God. I like to say that, you know, the church is oriented so that when you come in, you see the baptismal font, which is the entrance of the church, baptism. This is the journey of life, walking down the aisle. And here we are fed by the Lord in his sacrifice and nourished by his word, the tabernacle where Jesus lives and the crucifix. And we're going to be led through all of those in our own life into our own cross that we have to carry. But if I look at the church from this angle, it's a little bit off center. You know, we don't come in here. It's designed so that you come in the middle and see it this way. And in the same way, my life might be off base a little bit. I'm not seeing things correctly because I only put prayer in at the end of the day if I feel like it and there's nothing on TV. If that's the way I treat my spouse, may I offer you an annulment form? You know, it's if I don't have a, if I'm not keeping a relationship going with a friend, I'm going to lose it. If I don't talk to somebody, we're going to get more and more distant. God expects me to speak with him each day. We all have different ways of doing that. It's the same with, is my life off balance or out of base somewhere? God will speak to us if we ask him, especially, I think these next 3 days are particularly graced because we have an opportunity. The Lord will, if we ask the Holy Spirit, we may find us him revealing to us that here's what I'd like you to do for Lent, or maybe a little more scripture reading, or there's something here that we're doing that you could attend, some kind of social justice piece that doing, making a difference in the world. Each of us has a different calling, but the point is God not in the center of my life? We can spend our lives trying to put the equivalent of jumper cables in the trunk, but it isn't enough. I don't really know what's coming, but God does. And Lent is an opportunity to reorient myself to God. And so we just ask the Lord to send his Holy Spirit to guide each person here on our own individual journeys and our journey together in the time that's coming and the opportunity that God is offering us to, in some way, reorient all or a part of our life more toward the will of God.